start your day the two wing, I'm at Sfi Giffen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So, recently there was in the Daf Yomi, so Rabbi Eli Stefanski, I don't know if you've heard of him, he's a Magid Shein in Ramat Beit Shemesh. There's like 3,000, 4,000 listeners a day. So, there was a clip going around of him, and he was saying, like, this is his hardest piece of Gemara to learn. So, he was learning, like, the Gemara says that the way that you keep a child awake during the Seder, they can't have wine, so what should you do? So he held up an egois. So he's holding up a walnut in the shear. So he's like, this is what kept children awake during the Seder. This egois is what kept, in times of the Gemara, children awake during Seder. But he says, you know, late, unfortunately today, I mean, he starts putting out pictures today of, like, you know, photocopies of, you have to give electric scooters, you have to give this and that. You know, the way that we engage children, Lamaisa the Gemara says, we have to do what we can in order to make sure that the children stay awake during the Seder. So the times of the Gemara used to be an egois, then today the way that we do it is in different ways, all in order that the children stay. And but we're not going to just stick to children, to our teenagers, that they stay engaged and interact with us throughout the Seder night. Because the goal of Seder night is to transmit our Masorah. Our Masorah that went back from Matan Torah all the way to today. You know, the Nesiv Shalom, and many Svarim call it the Rosh Hashanah of Emunah. And therefore, it's the night where we pass on our Masorah to our families. Our values, what we stand for, what's important to us. This is what we do on Seder night. It's our chance in the year to give something over. And therefore, I'd like to share with you a couple of strategies, ideas, ways, in order to make it interactive, and also at the same time, what are the yesodos that I want to give on Seder night? All or nothing. This is what I heard from Mischa Barkovitz in terms of the Yesoidas. And the first part, in terms of making engaging interactive, I've picked up over the years from various people. So how the Seder should not look. How the Seder should not look. So, you know, my grandfather had a hotel in Lugano, so for many years I was in a hotel. Because my grandfather owned the hotel, so it already started at 10 o'clock at night, which is already a recipe for disaster. But, you know, what sometimes happens when you come home, the men take their time. They're finding their kittel, which is hung up. Where is it hung up? We can't find it from last year. Then some people are trying to find the cushions, which cushion they should sit on. And then there's a whole balagam with the table seating, where everyone's going to sit. And then people are ready in patience late at night, where everyone's going to sit, and everyone's going to try and find their place. It's hectic. People are tense. They're tired. People have been cleaning and scrubbing for the whole week. They just want to get on with it. People are tired. They're hungry. And then some people want to start making the mara, they want to start making the car. There's a whole balagan, all in order that to start the Seder. It starts very, very late. So the first thing is to get everything done beforehand. Everything. You know, I don't know, many people this year are going to be preparing the Seder table before Shabbos, and they're going to be sitting in the kitchen before Shabbos. All in order, it comes there, Seder, you're ready to go in straight away. There's no messing around, there's no cushions, there's no cushion fights, there's no people getting tense, where everything is prepared. You want to do it right. Now, my Rebbe, when he said this, he gave it in the context of Leah HaSedim, which we'll talk about. And I'm going to quote, this is Yitzchak Berkowitz, Mamash Adam Gadol. He said, how are you supposed to be on Seder night? People are tense, they're worried about the shurim, they're worried about the zmanim, looking at the clocks and nul. And how are you supposed to be? So he said, if a free man, which means b'nei chayrin on Seder night, was supposed to be b'nei chayrin, what's a ben chayrin? He said, a ben chayrin is someone who's an aristocrat. We're supposed to be aristocrats on Seder night. That's where the leaning comes from. The leaning comes from, we're aristocrats. We're leaning like aristocracy. That's what they used to do. We're reliving being a free person. Now, what does it mean to be a free person? So he said, Heseba, leaning, sitting, if you're just tense there because the kids might spill wine, that's petty. That's called self-possessed. That isn't being big. Big as in a big person. That's not calm. You're supposed to have a feeling of calm, of happiness, of feeling elevated. If you don't, if you're tense, you're worried about spillage, you're worried about... That's not Ben Chirin. Most people live by their instinct. Just more sophisticated as they get older. But we are bigger. than that. We're supposed to be an Am Chacham V'Navan. Am Chacham V'Navan means that we're supposed to be bigger people. Of course, this aristocracy means that we're part of Am Hashem. It's not just, I want to develop myself. But I want to be an Am Chacham V'Navan, developing myself, and therefore a person before Sayyidina should visualize in himself. There's going to be something that's going to fall. I'm probably going to get wine all over my kids. I'm probably going to get all over the tablecloth. Someone's going to spill something. Someone's not going to make me happy. But in my mind, I'm visualizing that whatever happens, I'm going to be smiling. Because the Ben Chorin, someone smiles. They're sitting there, I'll say they're like a melech, like the family, all B'nai Amlochim, and nothing will bother them. They've got to visualize that in advance to be besimcha. Because we want our families to have the most memorable night. And when the parents are tense, when they're worried, they're nervous, Zegeit Zechnisht. We've got to be calm and be B'nai Chorin. Okay. The next thing is unbelievable. This was game changer when I did it. This might have been no chiddush to you, but it was a game changer when I did it. What I did was I had in front of me, I had like four pots, like big bowls. One was chocolate chips, one was with chocolate, one was with different types of nash. Why? And I told at the beginning of Seder, I told my children like this, as an introduction. I said, in front of me I have these bowls. You ask a good question, you behave well, you answer a good answer, you're going to get something over here. And then I ask a good question, I'm saying, okay, who wants to get, if you answer this question, you'll get a sour, something, oh, I don't know, they have sour sticks this year, you'll get some chocolate chips, and you'll get a sweet, you'll get a pashkits, you'll get some, and all of a sudden the kids have a reason to want to be engaged on Seder night, because they have some sort of incentive, it's in front of them, they can see it. If some people not want to do it, you can give tokens and say that's already much more harder, but to have in front of you incentives that are going to want them to engage with you on Le'al Seder. Now, the next thing I find very, very helpful, it doesn't work for kids, but for teenagers and older, everyone should have the same Haggadah. Like, I remember where I was some years, it was like, so where are we up to? 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 Everyone should have the same Haggadah. If everyone's able to have the same Haggadah, and the father of the house or the person who's leading the Seder, I recommend that. The cat's Haggadah is beautiful. The Gadi Panak, I think, is drawing the pictures in it. Like stunning, visualized. You can show them pictures. Like sometimes my kids are like, don't show me that picture, it's so scary. And when you're on a mission, you see the scary pictures of Yidden suffering and pain. You see the makis. You're able to visualize all of those things right in front of your kids and show them these pictures that makes it amazing. And the last thing in this section is, this was amazing when I did it for the first time, was I said that everyone should have a place by the Seder table, so there's no busy trying to find places. And then also write a card. So you write the name, where they're sitting, and write under that. You know, Abba and Ima, Mami and Tati are so excited at the Seder table. Thank you so much for all your help before Le'al Seder. And then everyone comes to Seder night. They open up there under the serviette. They see a little note there from their parents. Wow. And they're all excited. They're already like feeling, we're going to be excited for Le'al Seder. Mommy, Daddy, excited for me to be here at the Seder table. This is really an amazing way of getting the whole family excited to start Kaddish or Chazkah B'Tzach. Secondly, that is all that. Okay, all these things I've like taken from so many, and I've just thought, I'll just throw in a few just to share with you things that I found like right there at the top. The next thing I do sometimes, I've got different introductions, is I ask at the beginning of Seder, how many generations has it been since the first Seder night? How many generations has it been? So, when was the first Seder? It was the year 2448 in the calendar. So now it's 5781. So that means that it's been 3,333 years this year since the first Seder night, which was the night before they left Mitzrayim. So then I say, so how many generations is that? So a generation is about 25 years. So if you take 3,333 years and you work out, divide that by 25, that's about 120, 125 generations. But then I say to my children, okay, you know, who over here sat with their Zaydas? I sat with my Zayda. He was at Le'al Seder in Poland in 1914. He sat there with his grandparents. His grandparents probably sat with his grandparents. And all of a sudden, instead of being 120, 130 years, let's say it's about 70 or 80 years. And all of a sudden, my kids realize that this is a story. It's not all of a sudden some crazy story that's come from nowhere. We're subtly telling them, this is a real Masorah. This is a real story. You know, I get calls today, more calls than ever. Every week is getting more and more. The volume of calls Or people want to know, where should I learn my munna from? Where should I, how do I know, where's my proof? All that sort of, those sort of questions. On Leil HaSeder, when we're giving over our Masorah, Satidi was saying, this is a story that wasn't made up. I heard this from my father, I heard it from his father, I heard it from his father. And then, for dramatic effect, I pull out this. This I made 2 years ago. I pull out this. It's unbelievable. It makes such a special moment at Seder night. This is Stickmen. It's 130 Stickmen. At the beginning is I put a picture of Kriyas Yamsuf. And then I put in David HaMelech. Halfway through, I put in Rashi, I put in the Rambam. And then towards the end, I started putting in people that we know in our family. So we know that we're Enikluch, I'm going to throw a few good names over here. You know, Enikluch of the Maharal on one side, Enikluch of the Noemi Melech on the other side. So I put a picture of the Noemi Melech's cave over there. Then I wrote down the Vilna Gaon. And then I started putting pictures of the family, the elder Zazers of Gedalia Rabinovitz, you know, from Manchester, Gedalia Rabinovitz, and then from the other, from my side, the Geffen family. And then I put pictures of my children at the end. And I said, you are another chain in the link of Klal Yisrael. The journey carries on with you. You are another chain, the link of Klal Yisrael. And when you're sitting at Seder table, whether you're sitting with another family, another generation above, and this is being spread around the whole Seder table, my kids feel they are locked in a chain and they feel a part of a Masorah. And you should know that he's saying, this is general, in general, today people are saying that what gives a child identity is the more they feel close to their parents and their grandparents. It gives a child the more of a sense of security, a feeling of belonging, and it keeps a child a part of something. And that's an amazing way to start Leil HaSeder, by saying this is not a made up story, but this is something that we've been passed on generation to generation. One more thing I'll show you in this section is I showed them, I couldn't print out color today because I didn't have a color printer at home. I showed them a picture when we talk about Pesach Matzomara, when we talk about the mysterious nefesh of Klal Yisrael, what exactly did they do? What exactly did they do? So this you can get in the British Museum. This is in the British Museum itself, but there's pictures of this in Egypt as well. This is the Pharaoh. This is the Ramses. This is like the and we know that in Egypt the ruler, the Moshe, was a god. Kaviyach, you know, Paro. We know he made himself into a god. And who is on top of that? Who surrounds the Pharaoh Paro? It's a lamb, because the god above, the Avodah Zarah above Paroi, was the lamb. So it's like, you know, children, family. You know what happened to the mysterious nefesh over here? What they had to go and do? Imagine all of you now had to go and take your next door neighbor, your Goshen neighbor's car. You had to go and take them back, their laptops. And you had to go into your house, take it, and then burn it outside on the street. You have the mysterious nefesh of Klal Yisrael? The defiance had to do is go and take the Avodah Zarah. This wasn't Stam Avodah Zarah. This is everything of theirs. And the Klal Yisrael had to go and take it. That was their Munna and Bitachon that they had on Leil HaSeder. In order for them to Zochet Zagar Mitzrayim. And showing this picture, all of a sudden they realize this is some visual. Many kids, you know, it's hard for this. It helps them visualize exactly what was going on Leil Mitzrayim. Okay? Fine. Then, okay. It's part of it, yeah. It's all part of it. Now, whether you want to spend time with Marcus or not, it's up for debate. But Maisa, spend 10 minutes on the Midrashim, because you know kids come to these days to say that. In some ways, last year was good because they came unprepared to say that. It was like the first time we had the mitzvah, we got to the mincha, because they didn't know much because they hadn't been prepared so much. This year they've come prepared, so we've got to surprise them with how much we know. We've got to be preparing different stuff that they haven't seen in schools. So when it comes to the Makkos, we've got to be going through the Midrashim, for example, the Yalkut Shemini that shows how the Makkos all was like the 10 steps in the artillery, in the way that you attack a country, and it goes through various stages over there. I personally do quite a few shticks. I keep 5 for the first night, 5 for the other night, each one down to 2 minutes. There's many, many different ways you can do. I'm happy to share with you afterwards. Anyone wants to write the email address, I was happy to send them some more examples of what I do for the Makkos. Baruch Hashem, I already have a whole box that I've prepared over the years. Vita. After all of that, we want it now. I heard this from Rav Leuchter, I heard this from many, many Anoshim Gedolim of contemporary people. They ask, you know, there's so many Vertelach that can be said on Leil HaSeder. There's books and books, svarim, svarim, that a person can read and say some gematria, some vetzah, hadith fits in what they're doing in Bnei Brak. That's not the mitzvah. I hope it's okay to say. That's not the mitzvah of the night. The mitzvah of Leil Sipur Siyas Mitzrayim is to give over yesoidus. Now, what is the yesoid of Leil Sipur Siyas Mitzrayim? How do we make sure, by the way, one side point, I tell my kids before say the night that tonight's my mitzvah. I know you become very well prepared. You can choose before say the night one thing, two things. You can keep it for the rest of Yom Tov. I'm happy for you to say it. Say the night is my show. Does it like that? Say the night, I'm saying over to you my Vigata Mincha. It's my mitzvah. It's my mitzvah once a year. I'm happy to everything you're going to say. I can't wait to see Haggadah over the whole Pesach. Tonight, I am saying, because it's all well. I want to be able to say exactly the Yisodis. I want to give over what I stand for, what Klai Yisrael stand for, and we're going to see what the Yisodis are. So what's the Yisodis for the Haseidah? So Gamliel Oymer, the Shosha Devarim a person's got to say, Pesach Matzah. So let's go through them, let's understand them, and then, once we understand these Yisodis, when you build your, I'm not going to tell you what the Vata is, you can share what you want. But once you've seen the overarching view of what Leil HaSeder is supposed to be, then my Divrei Torah that I want to say should fit into that. Should try and fit into that. So what's Pesach? So, well, how do you translate Pesach into English? Passover. So, Rabbi always used to start, say, Passover, skip, hop. Is that the name for Yom Tov? To skip the hop, you know, if you'd have thought of a name to call it, you'd have called it, you know, after the, you know, the great escape, you'd have called it the Freedom Day, Freedom Week. Why call it skip, hop, Passover? What's the significance of that? And Samazoi, you know, of all the different plagues, all the different makas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also skipped over Klal Yisrael. So why Dafka do we call it Pesach? We call it Leil Seder, we call it Pesach. Skipping up. So my Rebbe said, he said that, you know, when you weren't there, when you were picked for something, it's pretty hard to appreciate. So for example, you know, you have a person who's an orphan. So they're brought up in a house where there's, you know, they're brought up in an orphanage, there's no one there to look after and give a person attention, there's no one there to take them on holidays, there's no one there to give them clothes, there's no one there to give them all the added extras that a person can get. And then all of a sudden they get taken out of this orphanage into a house, into parents that adopt them. Oh, they're grateful for everything, grateful for the clothes, they're grateful for the extra food, they're grateful for the holidays, they're grateful for everything. So what happened was, now, Leil HaSeder, the mitzvah is Laharis. You've got to go back and visualize that you were there on Leil Yisias Mitzrayim. What happened? Klal Yisrael was sitting there. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells them, you're going to leave. Fine. They've been told that a couple of times. You know, they're sort of, in a way, given up hope. They're sitting there on Leil Yisias Mitzrayim. They're told they're going to go out. They've been told that a couple of times. They've been disappointed a few times. And then they start hearing about a Makkah. The Makkah's Bukhara's. And they hear screaming and wailing. This wasn't, you know, South Manchester. They were hearing next door. It was very easy to be able to hear next door the crying and screaming. And they're worried and shaking. Are we going to go out? Are we not going to go out? What's going to happen to us? And then they find out that they've been saved from the Makkas Bukharas. And then they realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had picked them to be Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Leil HaSeder took them out. And then Klal Yisrael realized that there's an unconditional love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The first message of Seder night, of Pesach, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu unconditionally loves us. Even when the Malachim were saying, Halala Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halala Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and we had nothing. We had nothing. We were nothing. We were the lowest of the lowest. We were as bad as the Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I unconditionally love them. I'm going to give them mitzvahs in order to be zeichet to go out. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised Avraham Avinu. The first message of Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. There's an unconditional and unbreakable bond between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to feel that, and you have to be excited about that, and you have to be able to share that with your children. Hashem loves you. We've got to say it. Like, I don't know, I got used to saying it because I was hanging around with Americans for a couple of years. I don't know how easy it is for English people to say it. We have to continuously tell our children there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that loves us unconditionally. Yugashim Miller recently spoke about it in his Chinuch series. This is today everyone is saying, if you want to be mechanech your children, Hashem loves you. You want to say something before your child goes to bed? You tell him Shema, you tell him B'Shem Hashem, you sing HaMalach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. B'Shem Hashem, Hashem is on top of you, he's unconditional love to you. And Leil HaSeder, I tell my children, you know, does mommy and daddy love you? Do we love you? Yeah, we love you. Would I ever forsake you? Would I ever leave you like on a train station platform and just run away? No, you would never do that. I said, you know who loves you more than me and mommy? Hashem. Hashem loves you more than me and mommy. Can you imagine that? You know how much you feel that? And that's why I tell my children, first thing, Pesach, be able to feel like Kosh Baruch Hu skipped over the houses, even though we're at an area we had nothing to us. Kosh Baruch said, I'm picking you as my people, the unconditional, unbreakable bond between you and Klal Yisrael. Number two, matzah. What's the matzah? So matzah is very interesting. Standard classic question is, what's matzah? Is it? Is it? Is it halach ma'anya? Is it the bread of the poor? Or is it the matzah? Is it the bread that they didn't have time to bake when they left Mitzrayim? Which one is it? And some of the question that you put this matzah, you know, we're sitting in there, it's supposed to be cheirus, and we're sitting there, and there's this poor man's bread in the middle of the Seder table. What's going on over here? So my rabbi said, Azai, he said, what was the matzah? Again, this is the second yisoid of who we are as Klal Yisrael, what we're supposed to be giving our children Le'al Seder. Number two, who are we as Klal Yisrael? So he said that, what did the Egyptians do to us? And this, we should be giving over age-appropriate to our children Le'al Seder. Vayirei Oison HaMitzrayim. Talk about it. What did the Mitzrayim do to us while we were there in Mitzrayim? Stand we were slaves? They dehumanized us. It was a 210-year Holocaust where they took our babies and used them as their blood. They put them and stuffed them into walls. They dehumanized us and made us feel as there was nothing to us. And what was going on? Why was this happening? This was Klal Yisrael undergoing a process. What was the process they were going under? They were undergoing. They were undergoing a process of therapy where they were being removed from the physicality of the world. The process began where we denied all the pleasures of this world. We were taken out of this world, detached from the physicality of the world, where it meant nothing to us. We had no connection to it. They were beating us. Let me explain this a bit deeper. A depressed person, right, doesn't care what they eat. When you have nothing to live for, just give me whatever. I just want to eat whatever you give me. Just give me something. You don't really care when you're sad, you're not in the mood. You're not in the mood. You just have to have a bit of pasta, have a bit of toast. You don't really care about the food that you eat. But there's another type of person who eats matzah. What's the other type of person who eats matzah? The other type of person who eats matzah is a billionaire. A billionaire, he's going from deal to deal. He's just giving me another coffee. He's making his billions. He hasn't got time to start eating. He hasn't got time to enjoy the taste of food. The closest thing I've ever come to that is when I'm doing a campaign. I've done three of the four of them already. You do a campaign, when you're leading a campaign, you've got 36 hours, you've got a goal, you need to try and raise the money, and you're just... I remember I came back after 36 hours home, my wife's like, have you eaten anything? I was like, I had sushi like from 2 days ago I found in the fridge. And I was like, coffee after coffee, I was so driven because I had this goal. It didn't make a difference what I was eating, because I had a goal that I was so busy living, that I didn't have a moment to stop and enjoy the food that I ate. So matzah can be eaten in two ways. There's a person that doesn't want to live, and therefore he eats the matzah. And the matzah of someone who's too busy living in order to have time to enjoy the food. So therefore, what happened in Mitzrayim was a process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm detaching you, Klal Yisrael. You're never going to be fulfilled anymore with just a physical life. If you just live a gashmistic life, it'll be empty. It'll be nothing. You won't feel fulfilled. Hashem took that fulfillment out of us. And what did He make us feel? Shlohispik betzeitzam. The only thing that's going to fill you up is going to be Mekabel Torah. A life worth living for. Where you're living for purpose, you're living with goals, we're driving towards something. That's who we became on Le'al Seder. That's what Mitzrayim did to us. It was a process from Halach Ma'ani, where it was ripped out of us, this physicality, to where we became these ruchnistic people that live for that. They live for that. You know, I know someone, I heard this firsthand, someone who went to Chaim Kanievsky and he said, I'm prepared to build for you a palace on Rashbam Street. And Chaim's like, yeah, laughed. He's like, Ichtaf is name. He's like, Chaim's like living on Haba in this world. He's like, he doesn't need someone to build him a palace. He doesn't need it. He's happy to live in his 2-bedroom house, you know, by him. It's fine for him. He's living the matzah of someone who's so busy living this world of Mahaba, ruchni sticker life. It doesn't get him, it doesn't feel him. It's someone he cares about, it's not his passion. On Leil HaSeder, we tell our children, what is it that's important to us? It's Olam Haba. What mommy and daddy really care about is Olam Haba. It's a life of Torah mitzvahs. That's what's important to us. And when we eat the matzah, we're saying, what's important to us? We were taken from this place of, it doesn't interest us. Yes, you've got to have a house, you've got to have a car, and it's okay to enjoy it. But what do we really care about? What's really important to us? Is that when we walk past someone and their house is stung, the whole Shabbos meal is all about that? Or is it what's really important, what gets us excited, what we live for, when we're rushing from shir, from learning, from working, and we're busy with all of that? And Leil Sipusis Mitzrayim, we say there's nothing better, nothing that fulfills us more than that relationship with Hashem. That's what I care about, that's what I'm passionate about. That's the matzah. That we were ripped from this world and we were taken into its Olam Ruchni. And number three is the Mara, this is my favorite. The centerpiece of the Seder table is this Mara. Here you have it for me, my memory of my Zeda who'd been through Auschwitz. I remember him sitting there at the Seder table. And he was a Polish, he was a Gerachot, who never showed emotion the whole year. And came to the Mara, he'd take a chunk, and he'd be crying, and he wouldn't stop. It'd take a couple of minutes for him to get over the Mara. What's the Mara all about? Why are we having Mara on Leil HaSeder? It's supposed to be B'nai Chorin. Why are we sitting here just remembering the sadness? What's the point of remembering the sadness? Why are we doing it on Leil HaSeder? How's that a part of who we are as clients? So how's that a part of what we're trying to impart to our children? No, Sam, just remember the bad times. What's the message to our children through the Mara? And I'm saying this is a bit more sophisticated. It's not for the younger children. This is more for teenagers and above, really for the whole family. And this is something that we're supposed to feel on Leil HaSeder as well. How's a nation built? How's a nation built? Usually a nation is built geographically, people with common interests, they're interested in this, interested in that, they come together, they find their geographical location, and they build from that. How was Klal Yisrael built? We were built in a strange land. We were built by people that hated us. When was the first time we were called a nation? When did we turn from a family to a nation? Before. What was the pasuk when we were called a nation? The first time we called the nation, what? Earlier. It's actually unbelievable. Pari says to his people, because the Am are trying to have they're trying to overcome us, this Am, which is unbelievable. In the same pasuk where we become an Am, is anti-Semitism. What's the connection? Why? It's an interesting question to ask on Seder tonight. Why is in the same pasuk where we became an Am, is anti-Semitism? And the answer is, why we sing the Yishe Amdo on Seder night? One of the questions you can ask on Seder night, why on earth do we stand there and we make it, Yishe Amdo, Yishe Amdo? It's like, thank you Hashem, but every generation has always been a murderer. Thank you Hashem. If we're going to sing, make a toast to Hashem for saving us, then keep the wine down till we get to the part. Vakon Shmaruch Hu, Matzini Miyodam. Why are we raising the glass and saying, thank you Hashem, and every generation has been someone there to destroy us? They don't thank Hashem. Why are we thanking Hashem and every generation has been someone there to destroy us? And the answer is, because what's kept us together as Klal Yisrael is when the Klal Yisrael are living up to what they're supposed to be. Hashem says, you are created in Mitzrayim. You were created in the unnatural. Do you know why? Because you're supposed to be a supernatural people. You're supposed to be a supernatural people. You're Klal Yisrael. I picked you out of Mitzrayim in the most unnatural place. You became an Am. And therefore you need to live by that. You need to live for a higher purpose. You need to live for you can't be mediocre. You've got to be living for a higher purpose. And therefore on Leil HaSeder, what we're saying is that there's no place for a Jew in this world other than being Am Hashem. That's what we're supposed to be. Seder night is where we tell our children, Pesach, Matzah, get to that. Like the full first part is all the Malishana, but it's nice, but move quickly. Because you've got to get to the story. But you're also on a mitzvah, you've got to get to the Makkah, you've got to get to Pesach Matzah, which we give our children this yesoid of who they are as people. We build them and say, you're special. There's nothing greater than being Yid. There's nothing greater than living a life of Torah Mitzvah. There's nothing better than living a life of Olam Haba. There's nothing greater than the fact that you're supernatural. You were built in Mitzrayim, which is a place of no people's ever built there. And that's where you were built. That means you're supernatural people. And there's no place for mediocrity in this world. You're great. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. You're nothing better than being a Yid. You're special. Say that over and over again. So by the time they come out of Seder, they feel special. They feel picked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They feel unconditional love. And they feel that Hashem loves them and cares for them. I've run out of time. I'm happy to carry on. I'm out of time. If you write down your name, I'll send you some more material. I just want to end off with a story that they say about the Bnei Soscha after Leo Haseda. After the first night of Pesach, the Hasidim came to the Bnei Soscha and said, Rebbe, that Seder night last night, as our Tish, it was the most beautiful Tish we've ever been to. And the Rebbe, he said, there was actually a nicer Tish in town. So tell us, Rebbe, tell us about this Tish. So he said, you know Moshe the water carrier? Moshe the water carrier Seder was nicer Seder. And the Hasidim was shocked. Moshe the water carrier, he didn't even come to the Tish of the Rebbe. Moshe the water carrier, he sat at the edge of town, he shed water the whole day, a drunkard, a shikah, his Seder was nicer Seder. So the Chassidim go over and they knock on the door of Moshe, and he says hi. He was like embarrassed, and he said, the Rebbe sent us, he told us about your Seder. And he shut the door on them. He's like, I don't want to talk about it, I'm so embarrassed. So they beg the Rebbe, and they say, you know, they beg and beg the Moshe, and they say, Moshe, we want to hear from you. We want to hear, what was your Seder like? The Rebbe said, it was nicer than his Seder, the most beautiful Seder in Shtar. So he said, I'll tell you what happened. You all know I'm a drunkard, you all know I enjoy drinking. And before Leah HaSeder, my wife begged me. She said, I know you're drunk the whole week, but you know, I've prepared the table. I've been scrubbing and cleaning for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I've been doing everything we can. Please, don't get drunk. Let's have a Seder with the children. Give over our Masorah. Let's have a nice Seder. And I made her a promise. I said, fine, I won't get drunk. It came before Seder night. And the drinking got the better of me. I ended up going to the inn. And I came home minutes before Seder night. And I just went straight to my bed. Drunk. I couldn't move. And he came knocking the door, and my wife begged me. She said, please, come down. I prepared the Seder. The tables look so nice. The children are waiting to hear from their tati. I couldn't move. I felt so bad. And my wife gave me some drinks, some water. I was able to sit up in bed. And my children were standing around me. And I said to my children, first you should know, I'm so sorry I missed the Seder. I promise you I'll never drink again in my life. But then I turned to my children and I said a second thing. I said, you should know, there's one God in the world. There's an Abishah in the world. And He created the world. And Hashem gave the world chance after chance to be the nation that He wanted. And then Hashem chose Avraham Avinu. His people went down into Mitzrayim. And Hashem took them out. And Klal Yisrael were charged with rebuilding the world. To make a Kiddush Hashem to be Klal Yisrael. And every generation has always been someone there to destroy us. And Hashem saves us. Remember that you're Jews. And swear to me that you'll always be loyal to Klal Yisrael and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was it. I fell asleep. So the Chassidim went back to the Rebbe. He said, this is what Moshe told us. What was so special about it? So the Rebbe said, you know, sometimes now say that people get distracted. So many different Torah, different shittas, different this and... Again, this water carrier, he gave one clear message to his child. Emuna b'Hashem, Hashkacha b'Hashem, the unconditional love of Klal Yisrael. That is the tachlis of Seder night. To give that message, everything we're doing is all to give over that message. Hashem's love, Hashem's Hashkacha, the Masorah of ours, the unconditional love of Klal Yisrael, to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, the unbreakable bond. And Be'ezus Hashem, when we give over that Masorah, our children should feel proud of being a Yid. They should know there's nothing like living life like a Yid. They should feel that it's so special. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zeicha that they'll want to give over this to their children, and their children, Abiyaz Kol Tzedek. Amen.